Good evening, everyone. I'm broadcasting live, May 6th. Today's quote is somewhat curious. And not quite how, well, Bhikkhu Bodhi's translation, of course, is preferred. But the word isn't quite false, it's vipatti, no? Vipatti is failure, failings, as Bhikkhu Bodhi translates it. The vipatti in some... sampatti. Vipatti and sampatti. Vipatti means lacking. Apati, sampatti means means attaining our failings and our attainment. So the Buddha says, and it's kind of, I wouldn't put too much on this, because the context of the quote is that Devadatta just left. And Devadatta, of course, was the Buddha's cousin who, well, he came to the Buddha and he said, oh, Venerable Sir, you're getting old, so why don't you pass the Sangha on to me, I'll lead the Sangha. And the Buddha said to him, I wouldn't even hand it over to Sariputta and Moggallana, let alone some insignificant little person like you. He said something really mean to him, actually, kind of. Because Devadatta is out of control. And so there's only one way it's going to end. In the end, the Buddha has to be firm. It's rare, because he's not usually like this, but with Devadatta, he had to be firm at all times. And so Devadatta got very upset, and he tried to scheme up a way to take control of the Sangha. And so he came to the Buddha later and asked him to instate 5 rules for monks, that they should always live in the forest, that they should only eat vegetarian food, and things that actually were contentious and seemed reasonable, but the Buddha couldn't enforce, and he stopped short of forcing monks, even though he praised living in the forest, and even though obviously eating meat is problematic, and there are types of meat that absolutely shouldn't be eaten, and that kind of thing. So he refused, and Devadatta used that as a grounds to start a schism. He got monks on his side saying, hey, the Buddha, you know, clearly he doesn't know what he's doing. But the monks he got on his side were actually new monks. They're monks who didn't know better. So they hadn't studied their mind. They hadn't really learned the intricacies of monastic life. And so they thought Devadatta was the more serious. More serious than the Buddha. The Buddha seemed to be actually kind of lax and indulgent. And so they went with Devadatta, but later the Buddha had Sariputta and Moggallana go to see them, and it's kind of funny how it turned out. This sutta is actually before that, but later on, Sariputta and Moggallana went to see Devadatta, and Devadatta said, oh, look, here come the Buddha's 2 chief disciples, they're joining us as well. And Sariputta and Moggallana didn't say anything. And so Devadatta said, Sariputta and Moggallana, you teach the monks now, I'm tired. And so he pretended to be like the Buddha, where the Buddha would say, you know, you teach, and the Buddha would lie down and listen mindfully. But instead Devadatta lay down and fell asleep. And so Sariputta and Moggallana taught the monks the truth and converted them all, and they all went back to see the Buddha. They all went back to be with the Buddha once they realized what was right and what was wrong. And Devadatta's sort of second in command, kicked Devadatta in the chest to wake him up, and was very angry and said, look at what's happened. I told you to be careful of these two, and you didn't listen. But he kicked him in the chest and it wounded him, and that ended up, I think, being fatal. That was what killed him in the end. He got sick after that, coughed up blood. But so this quote is somewhere during this whole fiasco when Devadatta has just left. And so the Buddha, kind of to introduce the topic, he says it's appropriate from time to time, kalena kalang, to talk about one's own failings. Not talk about, but to pachavekita, to consider. It is good that they be considered, reflected upon. And it's good to reflect upon the failings of others. And you have to take this with a grain of salt. It's important not to get obsessed with the faults of others, because the Buddha has said, of course, napresang vilomani, napresang katagatang. Don't worry about. One should not become obsessed with other people's faults. But so here he's cautious. He says kalena kalang, from time to time. It's useful, right? Because if you look at Devadatta as an example, and if you talk about him and think about him, you can say, that's not how I want to be. That's something that leads to stress and suffering. And he says it's good from time to time to think of your own attainments and the attainments of others. But then he gets on to the meat of the sutta, which is actually more interesting. He says Devadatta is going to hell, right? That's what he says. Wait, where is it? There are these 8 by 8. Let me read the English, because he was overcome and obsessed by 8 bad conditions, Devadatta is bound for the plane of misery, bound for hell, and he will remain there for an eon. So the point is to introduce, he's now going to talk about Devadatta's failings, what Devadatta did wrong. And these are interesting because these 8 things are a list of things that we have to be not obsessed with. We cannot let overcome us. The first is gain. Some people are obsessed with gain, wanting money, wanting possessions, wanting to get things. And when you get obsessed with that, it overpowers you, it inflames the mind. Overcome by loss, when you don't get what you want, when you lose what you like. Fame, number 3 is fame. Some people are obsessed with being famous. People who post YouTube videos, they can be obsessed with people's how many subscribers they have or something. We go on Facebook, we're obsessed by how many likes we get. That kind of thing. By disrepute, the opposite of fame. You're obsessed when people have a bad image of you, or when you become infamous, or when no one knows who you are. By honor, not sure what the context here of honor is. Look at this. Sakkara. Right? Yasa, ayasa, sakkara. Sakkara is similar to fame, but it's when people present you with things like respect and gifts and praise and honor. Yeah, that's where he gets the word honor. Sakkara means doing rightly. People are obsessed with other people praising them and honoring them and rewarding them, that kind of thing. Number seven, by evil desires. He was obsessed by evil desires. Devadatta had the most evil of desires. He wanted to kill the Buddha. He wanted to become... He ended up trying to kill the Buddha. He so wanted to be head of the monks, head of the Sangha, so badly that he did evil things. He was jealous of the Buddha. He was covetous of the Buddha's position, that kind of thing. And number eight, bad friendship. So Devadatta was actually the bad friendship himself. He ended up making friends with King Bimbisara's son, who ended up killing his father. Jatasattu was actually able to kill his father. But association with bad friends means if you're on a bad path, it's not a good idea to find people who have your own faults, right? We say birds of a feather flock together. Well, that's not always wise. If you have faults, then maybe it's better to associate with people who don't have those faults. They can teach you something. They can remind you. They can challenge you, right? But we tend the other way, right? We tend to flock towards birds with the same faults. We tend to flock towards, if we are angry sort of person, we tend to find solace in other people who are angry. We don't seem so out of place. If we're around people who are not angry, we feel guilty all the time. We feel bad. So it's actually easier to be around angry people, which is, of course, the most dangerous thing, because you're just going to become more of an angry person. Greed, if you're a greedy person, shouldn't be around other addicts or other greedy people. If you're deluded, if you're full of arrogance and conceit and so on, you should be surrounded by humble people. You should go to seek out humble people to teach you humility. And then he says, it is good for a bhikkhu to overcome these eight things whenever they arise. Overcome. Let's see what the word he uses for overcome. Abhibhuya. And the commentary talks about abhibhuya. This is an interesting word. I guess it just means overcome. To be above. Commentary says abhibhavitva maditva. Yeah. To subjugate, to conquer. One should conquer these. Conquer these things. These are our enemies. Devadatta wasn't the enemy. The Buddha wasn't his enemy. His enemy was these eight things. Was his obsession for these eight things, I should say. Because, of course, gain is not a problem. Loss is not a problem. It's not these things that are the problem, except for evil wishes. But the real problem is our obsession. And this goes actually with even our emotions. If you're an angry person, that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is your obsession with it, when you let it consume you, when you have a desire. That's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is you fail to address it, fail to rise above it, to overcome it. When you have drowsiness, when you have distraction, when you have doubt, when you have doubt about the Buddha's teaching or the practice, the doubt isn't the biggest problem, but you let it get to you. Even these things, they're bad, but they really become bad when you follow them, when you chase them, when you make much of them. And so with these eight things, it's really the obsession with them. Devadatta wasn't able to see them clearly. And then he says, why should you not let them consume you? And he says, because there will be a vigata parilaha. which is a fever, burning. Those taints, distressful and feverish, that might arise in one who has not overcome gain and so on, do not occur in one who has overcome it. So you don't, your mind doesn't become inflamed, distressed, stressed, fatigued, overwhelmed. The asava, these outpourings, the emotions and the defilement, those distresses, they don't arise when you've overcome them. And when you've come to see them for what they are and discard them as unproductive. For that reason, you should train yourself. Tasma tiha bhikkhave evaṃ sikitabhaṃ. It should be trained thus. We will dwell having overcome. Abhibhuya abhibhuya viharisam. We will dwell having overcome gain and loss and fame and infamy and honor and dishonor and evil desires and evil friends. Papichatang papamitatang. Evil friendship. So a good list. Good list. It's almost the eight Lokiya Dhamma, but the last two would be happiness and suffering. Dukkha and Sukha. Instead of papichata, papamitata. Anyway, there's our Dhamma for tonight. Don't be like Devadatta. Don't let these things overwhelm you. Any questions? Oh, can you stay for a second? You can go. So we got a couple of questions. First, I want to say, have you met these people? Have I showed you? This is Michael. Let me see. Well, not that way. That way. That way. Michael's living here now. He's the steward here for a while. Just finished his advanced course, so he's done both courses. So we'll have to do an interview with Michael to see what he thinks of the practice. See how it helped him, if it helped him. And Sunday we're going to Mississauga together. And then I have to go to New York. We're going to drive to New York. Are you able to drive to New York? Would you be able to drive to New York?
Absolutely.
How is it about crossing the border back and forth? There's no problem, is there?
I think it'll be okay.
What did they say when you came in? Did they ask you or make
I had a
they
lot of questions.
They did make trouble for you?
I wouldn't say trouble. I had to wait for about an hour.
An hour?
I mean, you know, when I mentioned your name even, and then I was staying in a monastery, yeah, they had many questions about
like suspicious or just curious?
A little of both.
Oh, we should talk about that. You probably should give people letters in the future. Letters of recommendation, and like letters of invitation. How weird.
Yeah, they did ask for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've had this issue before. I just sent a letter of invitation to someone in the Ukraine who wants to come and meditate. So hopefully that works for him. So there's this monk I've been talking about. He wants to go visit Bhikkhu Bodhi, so he wants me to go with him. And he was going to drive there. I said, well, I've got a driver. We got a Prius, right? It's good mileage. So probably he'll pay for gas. But Yeah, so that's a week and a half away, the 17th. Sunday we're going to Mississauga for Visakha. Okay. So questions. Larry says, during sitting meditation, can more than one hindrance be recognized concurrently? Yeah, you won't have them both at once. You can't have aversion and craving concurrently. I mean, it feels like that because over time you say, wow, I was both angry and greedy, but you can't have them both at the exact same moment. So concurrently in the broad sense, sure. But in the absolute sense, no. In the absolute sense, there's one at a time. So whichever one is clear in that moment, just focus on it. Doesn't really matter. I wouldn't worry about which is which. Just whichever one is clear in whatever moment, focus on it. You don't have to catch them all. But again, you can't have all of them at once. Except for the fact that aversion to something is kind of like desire for it not to be, right? So you could argue that it's actually in that same moment, it's the same thing. You're saying the same thing. You dislike something means you want it to be gone. So it's not quite craving, or it is, some people call that vibhava tanha, desire for non-existence. Sabbe sankhara dukkha, does that hold true only for unenlightened beings? No. No, it does not. They are dukkha. Dukkha is their characteristic, means they are unsatisfying. It means they are not good. It's the intrinsic characteristic. It doesn't mean that they are painful or they when they arise cause one mental suffering or even physical suffering. That's not what dukkha means here. Dukkha means unsatisfying or unable to satisfy. Unable to bring happiness. It means not happiness. Remember, these three characteristics are in opposition of what we think things are. We think things are stable, we think things are satisfying or able to satisfy us or productive of true happiness. And we think things are ours or me or mine. We can control them. So this is just realizing that they're not that. That they're not nicca, that they're not sukha, that they're not atta. That's what these three things mean. They're actually anicca, dukkha, anatta. Can you go back to using the red room? Wow, there's someone who actually liked that red. No, I can't go back to using the red room. You should disliking. Sadhu means good. Sadhu just means good. Well, sadhu can, in Hinduism, sadhu is a, or in India, sadhu means it's a word also for a holy person, like a monk or a recluse. So they call us sadhus. They would call me a sadhu. But it literally means, at least in Pali, I don't know in Sanskrit, but in Pali it's just used to mean good. Sadhu, it's an exclamation, it means it is good. When something is good, you say sadhu. That thing is sadhu. In Pali you would say tang sadhu. It is good. You wouldn't say it like that, but then like sadhu, it was used in this sutta, right? Sadhu bhikkhave bhikkhu upanang labhang abhibhuya vihareya. It is good if, or it would be good if one were to dwell, that kind of thing. But isn't suffering only mental? No, there's two kinds of suffering. There's physical suffering and mental suffering. But that's, again, not what this means. I don't know. I think there's a lag, so I'm not sure if that was after my explanation or before it. But again, that's not what dukkha means here. Dukkha means not happiness or not conducive to happiness, not productive of happiness. Where is Robin? Robin's here. I was doing video questions. I was forcing people, trying to get people to come on the Hangout, so didn't have any. Didn't have any need for someone to read. I think there's a way at some time, and then we just stopped. Everything changes. This is what you have to realize. Don't get attached to things as they are. But try to change the format around to shake things up. Anyway, yes, that's all for tonight. Thank you all for tuning in. Tomorrow, oh, another thing is tomorrow at the university, it's called May at Mac. May at Mac, it's the yearly McMaster open house, and the Peace Studies Department has a booth, and they've asked some of us to go and talk to new students about the Peace Studies Department and take it as an opportunity to get people to sign up for the Peace Club as well. But it'd be interesting. I'll go as a Buddhist monk to go and promote the Peace Studies Department. I think that'll be good. I mean, I do believe in it. Not sure how, you know, obviously these kind of studies is not my priority, but I want to encourage them and support them. You know, anyone who's talking about peace, studying peace, is just all good in my book. So I'm happy to promote it. Anyway, have a good night, everyone. Yeah, you can stay up here for questions if you want. You can also leave after if you want.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe we could do from time to time we could do a dual monk radio if you want to come on. We could have a mic in the center or something. I've done that before. You see the ones with four of us? That was a lot of fun. We had a whole table of us in Sri Lanka for a while.